It's April 22nd, 2013, and you're listening to the Nitro Beer Free to Play Show, episode 29. I am Brian Belita, and I am joined by a couple dudes here. Mark Bradshaw.
I hate Nordic games.
Matt Pierce.
I am indifferent to Nordic games.
Imran Khan.
I kind of like Nords.
Yeah, Nords are cool. Okay.
I'm down with the Viking mythology.
I was a Nord in Skyrim.
Everyone was annoyed in Skyrim.
I was very annoyed in Skyrim.
But
oh, no.
So, Mark, are you going to get an Oculus Rift now that somebody's patched Skyrim to work with it?
Isn't it not done very well, though?
I have no idea.
Skyrim or the Oculus Rift? Skyrim did quite well.
The Oculus Rift is supposedly phenomenal.
Yeah.
Older yeah. games that weren't designed to work with it, it's all, oh god, Acrobat did ask me to restart.
Oh, but, just before Mark or Matt was like, if Acrobat asked me to restart, are we still in a day and age where we still have to restart after installing things? It's ridiculous.
You don't have to restart, but they want you to.
I thought that's the entire point of like everything at 7 and above, that restarting was a lie.
It is a lie.
Yeah.
You don't have to start, but they put it in there anyway, just because. Because who knows how computers work, except developers.
All right. Matt will be right back after these messages.
No, screw Acrobat. I'm not restarting for Acrobat.
But what if it asked you like every 5 minutes?
No, too bad.
No, it won't. Okay, good.
Process.
You know what I found out the other day was Java will just randomly give you a pop-up asking, hey, you need to update Java, regardless if you actually have like Java installed or not. I don't know how this works. Like you can have Java just completely disabled, and Java will find a way.
I hope you installed the ask.com toolbar, because that thing is amazing.
Oh, it did that. And it also got the little thing with the gorilla who can give you advice and tell you jokes. You got to get the gorilla. I think it's.
Wait, does the gorilla give you advice? I thought it was just.
It's advice gorilla.
Anybody? Like, what kind of advice? Is it like, make sure you always have your hands at 10 and 2?
Notice false spyware.
Yeah, he's always telling me about this evil company called McAfee and how I should avoid their products and services.
That's
murderers and zealots.
Fonzie Buddy, right? Is that what you said, Matt?
Fonzie Buddy was the purple gorilla toolbar from way back when.
We installed that thing. I used to work at this skate park where my parents live in Rockville. And, you know, we had a computer there for doing all the point of sale stuff. And, of course, we used it to play Worms and stuff like that, as well as bringing in a TV and Mario Golf. But that's besides the point. Anyway, so we installed Fonzie Buddy on this thing. And we pretty much just used it to say things because, it's a text-to-speech thing as well. So we would type in, the Hermit McDermott rap or Kermit, Hermit and Kermit McDermott.
Just be honest. You told it cuss words and you had it spell out cuss words.
We didn't. No, man. We were far more sophisticated than that. Like, we would make it say fart.
Poop. Say poop.
I'm pretty sure we did poop a couple of times. Yeah. So that's all I remember about Fonzie Buddy. But is that really that? I don't. Last time I updated Java, I do not remember seeing Fonzie Buddy.
Fonzie Buddy is still around. As a person who like spends an inordinate amount of time around like old people's computers, making them run again, they will get Fonzie Buddy. They will also use AOL, which is just I don't understand how that works.
It still really weirds me out when things are. Like you hear an ad on the radio and it says keyword.
Yeah.
Isn't that a straight up AOL thing or CompuServe or whatever? Or do they just mean search for that?
I never heard keyword in a long while.
Yeah, I guess just Google this thing.
Yeah.
AOL specifically had a system called
keyword.
There was a search box where you typed in things and certain keywords were just recognized.
Like it was URLs without the .com or Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
Well, since they had to be bought and arranged, they were usually way more generic.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, it would just have hashtag. Just hashtag this word.
Except that it didn't bring you to them specifically. Like, a hashtag will let you see a bunch of people who are talking about the same thing. Like this, you'd go into AOL and you'd type, discount shoes or whatever, and it'd bring you to a specific store.
Which would have adware. And
living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes.
It's like, you know how on Google you can, if you're doing advertising on Google, you can select some keywords and like have your ad appear for those keywords.
Yeah.
On AOL, you could select some keywords and have it so that if somebody types in those keywords, they get your site. No,
they go
options.
Straight to your site. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What were we? Man, remember
old people and Bonzi Buddy.
Old people and Bonzi Buddy and playing games on dial-up internet. You know, it's weird. Like every time I hear about some sort of live multiplayer or whatever on a handheld console or even on an iPhone or something like that, synchronous multiplayer, whatever. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. How did they even do that? And then for some reason, it seems weird to me that there's just like simultaneous multiplayer on handheld devices. But then I think like, all right, I was playing, Quake 1 Deathmatch on dial-up.
So. I think the better question is why you would play multiplayer deathmatch on a handheld device.
There's like Mario Kart and
my point stands.
No,
all right. Well, as long as you're playing with friends, not those dickweeds of Snake or whatever the whole snaking thing was. Is there snaking in the new one? I should pick up the new one on 3DS at some point.
I don't remember.
Imran, did you play the latest?
I do, but I like the people I play with would not.
Yeah.
No, are you snaking?
That's cool.
He plays against honorable people.
Right. I just remember.
Well,
that.
No, it's a matter that we play with Mike Lemieux's girlfriend, Eyes, and she basically destroys us, so it doesn't really matter. Like, it's all just a battle for second place at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Sinkholes. Yeah, no, I just remember that being such a thing on the first DS one, Mario Kart. Was it a number or was it a subtitle?
DS.
Okay, Mario Kart DS. Well, anyways, yeah. I'm really excited for Mario Golf. The Nintendo Direct was what? Was it this past Wednesday?
Yes.
There's one every 3 days. So chances
are this one. This is the one that could almost legitimately be called Megaton. Because Link to the Past 2 is coming out now.
I'm going to propose that we call this Too Past, Too Furious.
Yes.
I'm down with that.
All four? I.
Nay.
No, you have to wait till I say against.
Nay. No,
Parliament's right. Procedure has been destroyed, so we're going to have to just dump
it. So it fails.
We're thatchering this.
Oh. We're just pushing it through. Oh, did you hear that? I guess
that was great. Yeah, wait.
No. Did you hear that? I guess there was a hashtag on Twitter that was now Thatcher is dead, but people were reading it now that Cher is dead.
Yeah.
And so people were freaking out that Cher was dead.
That was confusing me because I didn't understand. I knew about Thatcher, but I didn't understand what everyone was talking about Cher.
Oh, Cher.
I would be freaked out that Cher was still alive.
Yeah, I remember her looking hella old when I was
back in 1980.
Well, I had this assumption that like maybe Cher and Thatcher died the same day. Like it was sort of like a Jefferson Adams thing.
Oh my God. I remember. So I've been going through, kind of fixing the Beardcast archive page, because we had it split before. So I've been going back, kind of combining them all and embedding all the audio files and stuff. So all 100 episodes, and I just finished today.
So we didn't have the audio files embedded. What were people?
Well, they were there. They were just linked. Yeah. So I was just going through, basically making it all consistent across all our pages, but So, I would kind of load it up just to make sure the file was working, and I'd just leave it play while I was kind of just making sure all the links were correct in the right places. And, the first episode starts off with Tyler O'Clue singing Cher. Speaking.
Terrific. I remember that guy.
Yep. He's doing things. In Canada.
Like, I think he went to work for another website and didn't tell us.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's writing for Nintendo World News now or something.
Yeah, I hate Tyler O'Hare. Who's Tyler O'Hare?
Or Nintendo World Report, I believe. But yeah, he was like, kind of off and on for a while.
Nintendo's the Economist equivalent, or how does that work?
No, it's just, I think it's just a Nintendo
talking group for Nintendo? Is that?
Is it? Did you ask if it was Kotaku for Nintendo?
No, was it the McLaughlin Group for Nintendo?
I don't know what the McLaughlin Group is.
No one's gonna understand that reference.
No, because I'm
wrong.
Wrong. Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
that's the McLaughlin Group. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
So sure. But we were Nintendo Mario Golf, which is one of my most anticipated games because I played so much goddamn Mario Golf in college. Toadstool. Toadstool Tour on the GameCube.
I can never get into any golf game. I mean, I can sort of get into basketball. Like, golf is one of the sports games just completely alien to me, because at the end of the day, it looks like all you're doing is messing around with a bunch of meters.
You should try. It's fun, and it's nice to just kick back, play some Mario Golf, you know, or any other golf game.
People told me Guitar Hero was fun, and they lied too. So I'm not going to believe you.
Well, I'm right. That's the difference between me and those people. I don't know. Maybe I might not be right.
Convince me it's just not like making sure a bunch of meters land in the right place and hitting.
Well, yeah, I mean, part of it is timing and kind of learning how to. It's a game of physics. I mean, like, if you got to shoot around a tree, you got to you know start your meter, hit the distance you want to go, and then you know hold left on the stick so you slice it around to the side.
Golf games are kind of like playing Worms.
Yeah.
You're just doing math and meters, but it's not like there's anyone saying you have to hit the ball exactly here and get this meter to that number. You kind of have to figure it out.
So if I made a sports game where the meters and like where you place the timing and all that had absolutely nothing to do with the actual end result, how long do you think it would take people to notice?
I need an example here.
Like, let's say you're making a baseball game and you have the swing meter. And, well, like, it's not going to be so far off that it wouldn't be, like, completely obvious, but if you hit at the top, it's going to go anywhere from, like, the top 0.5% or top 50%.
Yeah, baseball probably wouldn't work because it is kind of reflex. Like, just swinging the bat is actually a reflex.
Lucky hit baseball.
Or you throw a ball, and, like, it doesn't actually throw the way you intended it to throw, and there's just a message that says, oops, wind.
I guess that would sort of, a sports game roguelike?
The problem with is that any baseball game already has wind in it, which is kind of randomized. Like, every at-bat, it changes. And then on top of that, it's kind of like an RPG where whether or not you hit it is based on your timing as well as your player's stats and a random dice roll. Like, all of that stuff is kind of like what you're describing. Except the better your players, the closer you, like, the less random amount there is in there.
This is why the last good sports game was NBA Jam. Because it didn't matter who you chose. You chose the Hornets because you liked their mascot.
Yeah. And you got Muggsy Bogues. I think they had Muggsy Bogues in that. Yeah.
I think the last
sports
game I played was my friend lured me into playing NFL Blitz. And I am not a football guy. Mm-hmm. The rules, I think they're dumb. I think it's a silly sport.
You're dumb.
Look, I'm just saying. It seems to me that
face is dumb.
Professional football is more of a game of abusing the rules than it is about feats of athleticism. Now, don't get me wrong; they're athletes. But anyway, let's not get into that.
Professional football coaching is all about abusing the rules.
Okay. Yes. That's a good.
Or if you're at Penn State, I'll stop because I was about to say Penn State, but we'll keep on going. Yes.
So anyways, so NFL Blitz, and I know nothing of football, so I was just we were playing 2-on-2, and I was depending on my friend just to tell me, all right, you just tell me what to do, because I don't know what the fuck is going on. He's like, all right, you just blitz that guy. I'm like, all right, I'll blitz. I'll just run in there. And that was the last sports game I played. I think we won, like...
Football games are insanely complicated now. I only pay attention to them, like, every couple of years, like, when the Panthers do decently. But, like, it's just an endless display of menus. And then, like, it's an arcane art to figure out, like, what the plays, like, mean on the screen. It's like I every time I just wind up pulling back with the quarterback and like, just, like, running back, like 30 feet until somebody kills me. Because it doesn't seem like there's enough time to get the ball off because there's 80 dudes trying to murder you.
Man, you got to get that ball off before those 80 dudes come into play.
You know what would be a good twist on football? Is if the ball were explosive and everyone were trying not to keep it.
So a giant game of hot potato.
Yeah.
There was a game like, it wasn't Mutant League, but there was a robot football game for the Genesis that was kind of like that, where the ball would just explode.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. But I think what Imran's plan could work is if you had a racing game where you had these incredibly, like, broken down, like, stats for, like, cars and, like, the tuning and everything you do, and then it turns out all the cars were just randomized at the start. I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference, to be frank with you. I play a lot of racing games, and I like to think I know what car would do what and what my tune-up is doing, but chances are it's not. Chances are you could just roll a dice and give me anything.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Cyberball.
Oh, no.
Yes, probably a Cyberball.
So, I thought there was a... there is one on Xbox Live Arcade.
Uh-oh.
Amazing.
So, Mark, you guys have heard me talking about Golf Question Mark before, right? By Cryptixy?
I have heard about Golf Quest before, yes.
No. Golf Question Mark.
Golf Question Mark. No. Yes. Now I wish there was a Golf Quest. Are we sure there's not a Golf Quest?
There probably is a Golf Quest.
One of the Mario Golfs in RPG mode.
Yeah, the Game Boy Advance one.
It is the Coastal Tour. I think Mark specifically is referring to a video game called Golf Quest. Well, anyway, so Golf Question Mark is a golf game, if you didn't figure that bit out. Except the strokes and everything aren't controlled by meters and stuff. It's actually moving your mouse. It's like you swing it left and swing it, right in order to hit the ball in that direction. And then you get to drive your cart to the ball. And there are ramps and there's rocket sauce that you can use to boost your cart.
Okay.
Have you ever played a golf game before, Mark?
I'm trying to think of what golf games are. I think I played a couple like on the PC back when Lynx was a thing.
Okay, so it's been a while. That's about when I played my first one too, I think, with the little square ball.
Yeah.
And that was great. So I think what we need to do is record some sort of video or live stream, me and you playing Golf Question Mark. It has multiplayer, and we could even get Imran and Madden. I think it has up to 4 people.
I would do this. Do I need to know? Because I have played golf before. Because living where I was, you have to know how to play golf. I am absolutely terrible at golf.
Wait, what does that mean?
I live in North Carolina. You have to know how to play golf because there's a ton of golf courses around there.
Got it.
Yeah, you have to know how to play golf.
I initially was thinking New York, but you said where you grew up. So okay, got it, understood. So that's the thing that we should do at some point, and I think it'll be good times. And
pile of Nitro Beard LPs that we've never actually done.
Yeah, yeah. I still have Binary Domain that we need to play through. Imran,
how many people can play Binary Domain?
2.
Binary Domain sucks.
Shotgun.
Yeah,
it's called Binary. Mark, come on, man.
So what does that mean?
I don't 2. Isn't
yeah. Binary 2? No, binary. So by the nary.
Don't even.
Yeah. So developers, if you're listening to this, please make Golf Quest.
Yeah.
Using Imran's idea, I think we can get Andy McClure to do this for us. I think she.
I'm imagining a
minus the golf.
Yeah, I was gonna say an Andy McClure style golf game. I think I would love it. I think I would.
Yes.
Yeah, but so no. What I was gonna say. Right. We were
talking about Link to the Past at some.
No,
point.
We were talking about golf still. So. the developer behind this game, Alex, I can't remember his last name, but he's been doing a lot of cool stuff. He's making a kind of big Battlefield style FPS, but all the animations are done through physics. There's no canned animations.
I was hoping you would say it was gonna be like just everyone's a golfer. the only way you can shoot is just
I'm hitting the golf ball at them so hard right now of all these wonderful golf games that I could be getting. If people just embrace the wonderfulness of golf games. So he's working on a company, and I've been, I've been a big promoter. It's like, hey, I'm still here. I'm, maybe one of 2 guys that really want Golf Question Mark. So he's working on that and this other game called Sub Rosa, which is on Steam Greenlight and some other stuff. But he does some really neat stuff, especially involving physics. Mark, yes?
Is Sub Rosa based on golf in any way?
No, sadly not. You drive, though.
Okay.
And you kind of make switches and kill things. But anyway, so...
Okay, here's my idea. Yes. Tower defense, golf. Half the team plays as golfers trying to get their balls in the hole, and the other is like a tiny army.
Trying to, shoot down or move the balls.
Yes.
I
think this idea works.
I'm there.
You could do this as a tower defense driving range, where you have to keep up-armoring the golf cart that drives around recovering all the balls.
That would work well in, a mini-golf-like aspect. I think this could work well.
Let's do it.
And now that we've just expressed this idea to everyone, let's
yeah,
not at all copyright it.
Nope. Copyright.
This is a copyright. This podcast is a copyright. If you make this
proof, it's like, what is it? What is the whole thing? Like you put your ID in an envelope and mail it to yourself or something.
That actually doesn't work. Oh, there's no legal basis for that.
How did that even? How was that a thing that propagated that television? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so, the idea is that the postmark would prove that you had the idea first.
Yeah. But so I've been talking to this Alex guy, and he actually sent me like a secret version of Golf question mark that, and he even named it like Beard Edition and stuff. So I every now and again I prod him saying, hey, please keep working on Golf question mark. Yeah, so that'll be fun. Oh man, Golf question mark.
Yes. What?
Exactly. So we can play it like that.
Great. That will make for some riveting YouTube moments.
Gonna be wonderful. Let's take a golf question break. Fuck, I really butchered that.
You did.
Too past, too furious. Wait, too furious.
Wow.
Too Purious?
Too Purious.
Did you have a stroke there?
Take two.
No. Man, that's like the second time on this podcast I've been asked if I had a stroke.
Too Porous? Too Fast, Too Porous?
Too Fast, Too Purious. Yeah. So we were going to talk about a link to the past.
Yeah, we just completely ruined it. Thanks,
dude. No, they didn't put a two in. No, Nintendo wouldn't do that.
They didn't title it. They said it's a new Zelda game that takes place in the Link to the Past
universe. Oh, right. Okay.
The Japanese version is actually named A Link to the Past something.
Well, the thing I was worried about was a Link number to the past.
As long as it's not A Link to the Past 3D. As long as they don't do that.
Well, it is in 3D, but no.
3D! It's can't just...
I imagine it's going to be Legend of Zelda subtitle something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so on the Nintendo World Direct where they had a bunch of stuff, this was one of the things that they talked about, and I don't know. I guess it's a new top down Zelda.
I don't have the same affinity for Link to the Past that a lot of people do.
Yeah,
I don't particularly either.
For me, it's just like, oh, new Zelda game, neat. I will probably play that.
I don't like the graphics.
It looks fine on a 3DS screen.
It probably will look better in like the down-res screen. But the stuff we're seeing right now, it looks like pre-rendered. Like,
well, download the trailer and
yeah, I've seen the trailer.
I mean, like on the 3DS, see it there.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, graphically, I think it looks just from. Yeah, I think it looks neat. But I don't know, but those giant faces throw me off. I can't see the Mario, Mario 2 flying demon mask things.
I'd say Nintendo randomly will try to bring back the pre-rendered sprite things, and it's just really kind of annoying because they actually do really good sprite work. I don't know if it's something they have to do.
These aren't pre-rendered sprites. These are 3D models.
Okay, so I guess that would have something to do with it. But they look like the latter SNES era 3D sprites.
Yeah. It kind of looks that way because of the intense shading going on.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about it. I hate it.
I was looking for a comparison image of like the Link to the Past designs to the new ones.
Yeah, because someone on the GAF was trying to say something really dumb about that.
And they look basically the same.
Yeah. Someone's trying to say, oh, they don't have characters like or something.
So, yeah.
The Link to the Past.
Somebody was really angry about that crow. He thinks it did not look menacing enough now.
Oh no.
That crow is pretty goofy looking, but we're only seeing him in like one angle, so maybe if he like turns his head, he won't look so goofy.
I mean, they're all kind of goofy looking.
Crow looks fine. What's wrong with that crow?
Crazy people on the internet. That's what's wrong.
I guess it doesn't look enough like the old one. It doesn't look menacing. Yeah, is that what you just said? It doesn't look menacing enough.
I'm sure it'll look menacing eventually. Like when it's coming at you, it'll probably look sufficiently menacing.
It does,
but it's a fucking crow. Who cares?
Right.
It does look like a different art style. Like the slime thing, that looks like it's from a different game. Like I understand like where the sprites came from and like that they're based off of it, but it does look like a different art style to me.
I wonder, how they make the decision what art style a Zelda game is going to be in. And it's one of the few games that I can think of that it has. Well, I guess Mario counts too. But, you know, they had Zelda Soul Train and Zelda Ocean. What was the...
That was...
Phantom Hourglass. Phantom Hourglass,
thank you. Phantom Hourglass. You knew what I was thinking. And those were kind of the, you know, the Wind Waker-ish style.
Well, I think what they do, they take a look at, like, Twilight Princess and say, never again! Then we won't see
it. Twilight Princess, that is the totally logical idea for, like, when you have millions of people complaining for years that, oh, we want this specific art style, and then they get it.
And how much they complained when Wind Waker was revealed.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. I was in high school, and I remember people bitching about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they finally got, like, the grim, dark Zelda, and they realized, we don't actually like grim, dark Zelda. Zelda actually should be a cartoon. We're sorry.
But then it started all over again when they had that Wii U tech demo. It's like, oh, this better be what it looks like. It's like, that's not going to be how it looks like. They're going to do whatever they think fits the gameplay best.
I would say at least they do change the art style. It's not like Mario where it's like I guess it makes sense for Mario because it's iconic and they want to keep it kind of consistent across platforms. But at least they are willing to try different things with Zelda. So you can tell what era you're in Zelda with the art style.
Well, they try different things with Mario, but it's usually when they hand it off to a second party. Like when someone does a Paper Mario or something similar.
I think Paper Mario is the biggest deviation, but otherwise, I mean, from, you know, I guess Mario 64 through to Mario Galaxy, they're not that different. I mean, there's nicer graphics and stuff, but the actual art style isn't much different.
From the people I've talked to, they've told me that this game started off as Paper Zelda. And then at some point,
I guess it does have that in the trailer they showed off that little feature where you can kind of become part of the wall.
Yeah, that mural thing was the central thing of that game.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
It seems broken because it doesn't seem like there's a room in Zelda where you wouldn't instantly use that because it would be insanely powerful.
I assume it only works on certain walls.
Right. Yeah.
Not only that, but it's based on the world for Link to the Past. It's not the same game. So, like, all the dungeons will be designed around this.
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that excites me about this game, that maybe if you can use on every wall, being able to explore a world you've already been in with areas, with a new mechanic that'll let you go to new areas, that's fascinating, and they should really lean into that.
Apparently the overworld is exactly the same as Link to the Past.
Yeah. So the flowers are in the same place.
They would certainly garner some favoritism from, you know, people who may be nostalgic about Link to the Past something like that.
That's something that Zelda actually does really well. And one of the reasons Majora's Mask succeeds, I did an article about this like 2 years ago, it's probably somewhere on Nightshift here, but that Majora's Mask succeeds because it is a cheap budget game that was made using entirely reused assets, but they use those reused assets to actually, like, make you to flip your expectations of what that certain thing is.
Yeah.
Sort of so, like, characters will be entirely different despite being the same character.
Sort of like the opposite of how every Metroidvania used the exact same sprites and did the exact same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man, did you guys see that footage, I guess, from, blanking on the studio name, Metro Prime?
Armature.
Retro?
Retro or Armature?
I think Armature is the one. But anyways, there was some footage came out of this prototype for a Mega Man first-person game.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Armature? Mega Man.
Yeah, they were. Capcom had tapped them to do that.
Okay, And it was, I mean, it was hella Metroid Prime-y, which makes sense. I mean, I guess that project got scrapped. But it was pretty interesting to see.
I'm going to be the jaded asshole because Mega Man X is probably my favorite game ever, and seeing that made me really, really sad.
Not only would it make you sad, you'd realize that Capcom refuses to do anything with Metroid themselves. But Mega Man themselves. And then the one thing they would be to make it to a first-person shooter. That would kind of... Everything that Capcom has done with Mega Man has seemed kind of insulting toward the Mega Man community. And this would be just like the ultimate slap in the face.
It was there's been like a 5-year window where 2D platformers have been doing pretty decently. Like, maybe not every game, but I'm pretty sure Mega Man could probably ride the coattails of Mario and Sonic pretty well.
Agreed.
And they just refuse to, which is... All
they've done really is the Mega Man power-up games on, I guess, PSP.
Yeah, that was like 2006.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Is that fair to say because they did release Mega Man 9 and 10, which were deliberate throwbacks?
Yeah, 9 did pretty well, which is why they made 10, but it didn't do pretty well because they made it immediately after 9, and a lot of that nostalgia they were banking on didn't work out. But if they actually threw some money into it, Capcom actually gave a financial report the other day saying that they're losing a ton of money, and they blame specifically outsourcing games.
That's weird, because usually Capcom learns the exact wrong lesson from anything they do. So I'm wondering what they'll take away from this.
Well, they're not blaming their own management or anything. They're just blaming, hey, I bet it's Ninja Theory. Which, in fairness, I don't think it's right to entirely blame them. They made a shitty game, but one shitty game doesn't tank a company.
I know you've actually played the game, and I haven't, so I probably don't have the right to say this. Is it fair to say it's a shitty game, though, or is just it's doing what it's supposed to do? Because people did seem to like it.
No, it's fine. Calling it shitty is probably a little too far, but... Yeah. They made a game that, and this late in the generation, you can't make a game in a series that's meant to appeal to, like, a certain group of people and just say, if you don't like it, live with it.
Right. Which seems to be what Capcom does a lot. They don't respect their legacy, which is really weird. Because they have this enormous legacy, and they'll revisit it with, like, the arcade packs. They want to remind people that, like, Final Fight exists. They want to remind people that 1942 exists, but they won't give you a new 1942. What they'll do is they'll give you something, or like a Bionic Commando. They won't give you like a new real Bionic Commando. What they'll do is they'll give you like a 3D Bionic Commando.
Well, I think they did exactly that. They made a Rearm 2, and nobody bought it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the reason they resell these but don't make new ones is because a lot of it is banking off the nostalgia factor for people who were playing it back then and are now, you know, hardworking people and will actually buy this stuff. And what happens when they do attempt to make a new game in that series is that it tends to tank.
Yeah, I'd rather see them re-release games as they were and then work on new IP, because every time they try to revisit something that they haven't worked on in years, they fuck it up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, their revisits are not terrible, really. Bionic Commando was fine.
Rearm was a fantastic game.
Would any other company ask for the Disney license to a TV series that has not aired since the 80s and make a new game off of it, or a remake at least?
But now we have things like DuckTales and Castle of Illusion.
Castle of Illusion looks nice.
Yeah.
Castle Illusion was the Sega game. That wasn't Capcom, was it?
Yeah, that was Sega.
Yeah. And then apparently they're doing something with Strider. Who knows exactly what that's going to wind up being, if anything. But it's...
I thought that was in April Fool's.
I don't think... It showed up in the Steam registry.
Yeah, and the...
Crushed.
Yeah, and like some title screen showed up too, but... I don't know. It's like they'll do okay. So Rearm was fine. Then they go ahead and Rearm 2. But it's obviously the game that they wanted to make a ton of money off of was the 3D, the HD version. And what do they do? They do a very poor job of that. So they, I don't know. It's like they won't put the resources and the time and the care and dedication into the stuff that we want.
I don't know, but what if you asked any given Capcom fan what they want, they probably couldn't answer you beyond, I want Devil May Cry the exact same way it's always been. I want A New Beautiful Joe the exact same way it's always been. And at that point, we're not really asking for new IPs from Capcom.
That's the problem. You're asking people who can't articulate what they want. They want those games because they remember how wonderful they are. They're not going to be happy with the same game.
You know what I want? I do want a new Strider. I do want a new Bionic Commando. What I want is Capcom to work on those games. Because I know Capcom has developers capable of working on this. You know, Resident Evil 6 aside, I want to see Capcom work on this.
That's the question, though. Do they? Like,
I guess so, yeah. Because
Mikami's making a game that looks like Resident Evil, like the actual sequel to Resident Evil 4. And where's Capcom? Capcom's not the one leading the way on that one.
Yeah.
Bethesda is.
Yeah.
Like, you got your Devil May Cry successor from Platinum.
Right. So do they have the talent left? I guess that is a good question. But Dragon's Dogma is apparently decent. I don't know if you can call Ashura's Wrath a game or, like, if that even fit. But that was
CyberConnect 2.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. So do they even have the talent? But I would far prefer to see Capcom try to work on that. try to produce that stuff instead of sending it to a Western developer who they don't have the ties.
If you have Kobayashi work on another Devil May Cry, you don't have him working on Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah.
And they need to establish those new IPs for the next 5 years instead of just looking back at the last 5 years.
Right. Or maybe they just need to drop, like Matt was saying, just drop those entirely and just work on the new IP. If they don't have the talent to make a new Devil May Cry, then don't make a new Devil May Cry. If you're going to spend the money to Ninja Theory, have Ninja Theory do something new. Maybe Devil May Cry would have been better accepted if it wasn't burdened with the expectations of being a Devil May Cry game.
I don't know. We're going to see Capcom like in a new generation or transitional phase right now, because they're post Inafune. Ono's the one who's basically doing Inafune's job now, and I get the feeling that he's probably going to be a lot less inclined to go Westerners for everything.
Right.
So we'll see what they do. I mean, we know at least two of the projects they're making now for the next gen systems. So it's going to be an interesting few years.
It does seem like just the big Japanese guys in general are just bleeding talent. You know, we see Platinum like making the decent games, or like whoever, like Capcom sheds talent, and then that development studio starts making the decent games. It's like Capcom doesn't have the talent. Konami has Hideo, but I'm not sure what else they have. Doesn't seem like Sega has that classic talent anymore. It seems like the big studios have just lost their ability to do games. I don't know if they just fire everybody or what exactly happened there.
I mean, not everybody wants... Like, we need to remember that the gaming industry is super young, so we're not used to the fact that people aren't going to want to work at the same games and same series and be treated like crap for 30 years.
Right. And really, and that's the same for Western developers as well. If you're with Activision, then you're going to be stuck with that same franchise for the rest of your life. So maybe that's what has to happen. They just have to leave and form their own studios.
Yeah, for Switch, just doing the whole young, medium, new, and mature medium thing. As much as we can complain that Hollywood blockbusters are basically the same movie every year, they're not the exact same movie every year with new special effects. They at least wait a decade to remake a movie these days.
Now, we'll say that there, like when we were talking about Link to the Past 2, whatever they wind up calling it, at least Nintendo realizes, okay, we have something classic with Link to the Past. We can't just keep reselling. Although, you know, they'll keep it out there in the channel. But if they want to like remind everyone this thing exists, well, we can make a whole new game based off of this, but honor the spirit of that previous game. And that's something I'd rather see happen. You know?
Yeah. It is going to be a new game, even though the overworld is mostly the same.
Yeah.
But then there was that one guy on GAF freaking out for days. About, like, they're reusing the same levels. This is the same game.
Sure, yes, exactly the same game. Yeah.
That whole absorbing into the wall thing, I remember totally doing that all the time.
I just hope the 3D effect isn't forced, because they seem to be really pushing it. And it's like the 3DS is at its worst when it's being forced to do the 3D stuff. So I just hope they're not...
I don't know. Can you give me an example of it being forced to do it? Because I can't think of one.
Well, I mean, just like the effects. Like when they force the background effects. And it doesn't really work out very well because it's distracting.
Nothing's really forced, given the fact that you have the option to turn it off entirely, right?
Yeah, you do. But I mean, like a lot of the stuff they were showing was like, okay, you could like move up in like levels, like, and then it had the 3D effect, like fade in and out. I just hope that isn't a huge part of it, because you know the 3D effect doesn't really work out that very well on the thing. So,
yeah, I got no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. I don't think the 3DS does the 3D, like the physical 3D effect. You know, the 3D part of the 3DS. Like, I don't like that. It's annoying.
Kind of bought the wrong system.
No, you bought the Nintendo.
That is exactly what that system is meant to do.
Oh, no, you bought the Nintendo handheld, because the Nintendo handheld's where everything's going to go. So it's not like you're going to buy a Vita, for God's sake. That's just dumb. So
hey,
you're
Yeah. Imran's here, all right? Little sensitivity, please.
Sorry, I forget it sometimes. But no, I really don't like the 3D effect on the 3DS. Like,
well, I imagine you just leave it off then. I mean, is there anything that you need to use that to like solve a puzzle or anything?
That's what I'm saying. I hope they don't, because they seem to be pushing it in the trailers.
I understand. So you're worried about
the 3D effect.
Mm-hmm. What?
Like, how much do you use the 3D effects?
I turn it off whenever possible. That's what I'm saying. I hope they don't push it because they seem to have that as a big selling
point. Is it ever impossible?
What do you mean?
Like, has there been a situation where you had to turn on a 3D?
Pushma. Yeah.
You didn't have to in Pushmo.
You lose a lot if you don't have the depth of field in Pushmo.
Yeah, you it's there, but you don't have to use it.
You lose a lot. I mean, it's more difficult without the 3D depth of field.
But it would have been more difficult if it were on anything else.
I suppose. What I'm just saying is I don't like the 3D effect. It's annoying to me.
So I get the feeling that most people who don't like it used it once and turned it off and then never even tried to use it.
Yeah.
Imagine so.
Because that's what my wife did. She turned it off immediately and then never tried to use it again. It's like, you know, if you spent a few minutes getting used to it, you might not hate it.
Yeah.
No, I tried.
I think they're in a spot where, they're using this 3D thing. But I think the way it's set up currently, I imagine, does have that effect on many people where, it just makes their head hurt or they don't like it. So they can't really or won't really utilize that as a required feature in games, like some sort of way, I don't know how, where you would need that in order to solve a puzzle or progress past some point. So,
well, not only that, but because they're health and safety people freak the hell out.
They
tell you not to use it if you're under 6 years old.
Right, right.
Even though there's absolutely nothing wrong with using
it. So I don't think you have anything to worry about, Mark. You can just leave it off like you have been, and I'm pretty sure you'll be fine. You won't be missing anything. You'll be missing the 3D effect, but you won't be missing anything.
Well, basically, I'll be living half a life because nothing will be in 3D.
Yeah, why don't you just play games with one eye, Mark?
Why don't I just kill myself now?
No, it's not worth living. At least not until we've played our golf question mark.
Okay? All right. So I'll play golf question mark and then I'll die.
No, just go wander into the driving range. You'll be fine.
And die. Okay. There was anything else announced at that 3 Nintendo Direct?
Yoshi's Island 3?
That looks kind of weird. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree. That one does look like pre-rendered sprites.
I don't want to say bad, but it kind of looks bad.
They wanted to make it look like pastel.
Sure.
Pastel doesn't look good in motion.
I think it can. It's just that looked like...
Okay, that doesn't look good
in motion. It looked old. Yeah, I mean, it looked out of place amongst the kind of high quality of the rest of the stuff.
We'll see how it looks later on, but... As of right now, I think Yarn Yoshi looks a lot better.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen anything from that, but I should go look at some of that stuff.
They also announced Earthbound is coming to Virtual Console in America, which pisses me off because why would you acquiesce to those crazy Earthbound fans?
Did they say what they're going to do about the soundtrack?
They said they're just putting it completely there. Just a ROM.
Was there an issue with the soundtrack?
A lot of it is based on music that is legally actionable. There's background tracks that are meant to sound a lot like Beatles music.
Ah, interesting.
I think at this point they're like, whatever, we don't care.
Yeah.
No one's going to sue.
Also, we're bigger than the Beatles, so fuck them.
Bigger than Jesus, ergo.
Yeah, so go to hell.
All I know is that once I saw that, I was like, all right, good job, Jeremy Tessier. I was happy for Jeremy Tessier.
The Earthbound community has decided this is... Now that they've gotten this foot in the door, they're pushing for the next thing, which is Mother 3.
As soon as they got the one thing they've been asking for like ever since the Virtual Console was announced, they immediately were unsatisfied. Immediately. Now what about Mother 3?
I was wondering what would happen there. Like either they would completely explode because they would either feel betrayed or they would go nuts and try to get the next thing. So what's the next thing?
I figure they have to be like, okay, you've acknowledged this great game. Now when do we get an upmake or a remake or something like that?
That would be a good thing to do. Just remake Mother 3 on Wii U.
It's basically
an upmake already. It's an SNES upmake of an NES game.
Well, I mean like Mother 3. Just go ahead and do that.
If I can drop a little... anime knowledge, because I do have a little.
Oh shit!
I do have anime knowledge. It's basically, it seems to me that this is the story of Naruto, who always all he wanted was to be acknowledged. Isn't that what he always wanted all the time? He just is like, I will be acknowledged.
I think he wanted to fight. Didn't he want to fight? Because he fights a lot.
5 years ago, yes.
Yeah, probably. I'm talking like very first initial Naruto. Anyways, so they're like, all right, we just want to be acknowledged. Now we're acknowledged, and now they're not happy.
This has been the Jumpcast with
with Brian Belita, your host.
This is the thing I'm thinking for Earthbound. They've been begging Nintendo for this for years, and it's not going to sell well because all of these people who have been begging for it have it and have played it 1,000 times.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to buy it.
I think they'll buy it. I think there's been so much hype from these crazy people, and they're trying to convince you to buy like this $200 SNES game. I think people are going to buy it.
I also think that that community, while being very vocal, is also very small.
We'll see, because this is the first time it's getting released in Europe, too, so maybe it's going to do better there.
There's a lot of Earthbound love. Whether it's justified or not, I don't know.
Of course, the problem is, like, they're going to do this finally, and it's going to get no advertising, and that's why it's not going to sell.
Well, not that
it actually, it is getting advertising in Japan.
Oh, it is.
That's the weird thing. There's, like, street signs that say Mother 2 is available in the Famicom Festival, which you can read into is the fact that they have nothing else to show, so why not Earthbound? Which, maybe that works out better for Earthbound in America. That should be the campaign. Why not Earthbound?
Earthbound in America.
Why not? You're not releasing anything else.
Earthbound for president.
You've got nothing better to do.
Earthbound, when there's nothing better to do.
Have you seen your upcoming catalog? Just give us Earthbound.
Yeah.
Earthbound, so because you're going to lose money anyway.
That was about it for Nintendo stuff. I want a date for Mario Golf because I'm going to play the hell out of that.
You have a wife. Can't you just like invite her along?
What?
You said I want a date.
You wanted
to I want a date for... Oh, got it. I understood. Sorry. It's date. It's weird.
Hey, so The Evil Within got announced.
Oh, what's man.
Within?
That is Shinji Mikami's sequel to Resident Evil 4.
Oh,
slash Resident Evil.
Shit! I was not aware of this.
Somehow involving Bethesda.
Yeah, they're publishing it. It's been known as Project Zwei for a couple of years now while he's been working on it. But yeah, Bethesda bought Tango a while ago, and this is why.
It looks pretty super fucking creepy, I will say that.
It is a PlayStation 3, 360 slash PC and PS4 game.
Does it look like anything?
Yeah. It looks like Resident Evil 4.
Because all I saw is the teaser trailer, which is
live action. Yeah.
There's screenshots that I'm having trouble coming up with.
Wasn't there some hubbub about them using some image they copied of zombies or something?
Yeah, the concept art has in the background, like, there's a couple of pictures of zombies that are taken from a screenshot from The War Z.
Okay. That's right.
Which I assume is just like an overzealous Bethesda PR person that like, this shot needs zombies.
And the War Z probably copied that from somewhere else. It just,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a little, maybe that shouldn't have happened from whoever made that trailer, but it amazes me that people fucking find that shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe somebody's been poring over the War Z screenshots.
Right. And then poured over the Evil Within trailer.
Yeah. All right. Here's the IGN story, which you can just scroll around and find.
That dude got a safe on his head.
Yeah, he does.
I'm all for shit like that. I'm just going to say that.
Is it Safe Head? Can we just go ahead and call him Safe Head?
Safe Head? I think so.
Safe Head sounds like an insurance company.
Safe Head replayer, Safe Head.
There's no such thing as Safe Head.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this guy has a safe on his head and he's wearing an apron. So I guess this sort of thing is just big in Japan. Put a thing on your head, wear a creepy apron. I guess it's...
And that's a shot with the War Z stuff in the back.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, he said it's a horror game and not an action game. But there's still action. So I guess it's probably going to come out like Resident Evil 4.
I'm about to say, what did he classify Resident Evil 4 as?
I want to say Resident Evil 4 is way more action, but...
Yeah, but what would he classify it as?
I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. But this looks cool, and I'm eager to play it.
I don't know, I lost a lot of interest in Resident Evil once we got to Resident Evil 5 and it just stopped being anything resembling survival horror, so...
But that's when Shinji Mikami stopped working on the series. Yeah. His last game was 4.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's going to keep back the actual tradition of that weird hybrid that 4 was. But hopefully without the tank controls, because, good lord.
4 had fine controls.
I think I'm pretty much done with this whole aesthetic. Dilapidated...
I mean, it's a horror game. You kind of need that.
It doesn't have to look exactly the same as every horror movie.
Now, how much of Tomb Raider have you played so far? Because this is basically the same setup as Tomb Raider, where it's just this abandoned facility. And yeah, everything's falling apart.
Can I tell you, this goes back to that that Zelda conversation. I saw someone complaining about the graphics of that because everything looked too clean and not enough like ruins. Do we have to have everything be ruined in games? Like, it's always a deserted facility or the ruins of an ancient civilization or post-apocalyptic Earth. Can we ever have a place that's just not broken?
We had that.
Well, they need that for so you can, like, fuck up stuff and shoot in random directions and not kill people. So there's a reason that only you and enemies are there. It's a narrative construct completely.
Also, well, no, I could deal with that, but I mean, it was kind of neat in Mass Effect, for example,
right,
to occasionally end up like in a place like the Citadel, where things are clean and well kept, and it was a nice contrast between that and any sort of battlefield.
I think also they wanted to invoke a series of adventure that you're going places people don't usually go.
I guess, but everything is after the end of the world or looking back at some fallen civilization.
Well, I think there's a big thing there. It's like Mirror's Edge tried to do the same thing. But it's like in Mirror's Edge and the Citadel, these are places where you're supposed to be. Except like in Mirror's Edge where you're like breaking into like warehouses and stuff, of course. But like a dilapidated building or like an abandoned structure is someplace you're not supposed to be. And that's just inherently more interesting.
I don't know. Plus, I mean, it kind of, most of the times you're fighting against things that are ancient evils or what have you.
Exactly. I mean, does this, am I the only one who's getting tired of this?
No.
Like, this is like the main conceit of almost every game you play in a given game.
I'm not going to say that I'm getting tired of it, but I just don't notice it anymore. I am numb to the idea.
Well, I will say this, though. I mean, things can be kind of, you know, overgrown and dilapidated and stuff. But still look different. So,
yeah.
I, you know, there are different styles architecturally and areas and stuff. But, you know, I do like to see both. I would love.
I would say it's sort of weird for Link to the Past if they're the same areas. Like, if they're Link to the Past 2 is doing the same rooms and it looks like clean now, that would be strange.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
It looked clean before.
It's like years and years later. It shouldn't look exactly the same.
I don't know if it's years and years later. It might be a situation like Majora's Mask where it picks up immediately following.
No, because one of those stumps is a tree now.
Okay. So
they had to have done something different. I don't think that tree restoration is probably one of their top priorities.
I would say like the stuff where like you're going inside a place you're not supposed to be. I think this is what the Dead Space games do very well. It's like you have a lived-in area, but everyone's gone, and you know you shouldn't be there. Like when you go back into the spaceship in Dead Space 2, where you're just going in there, and you know you're not supposed to be there, and it's creepy as fuck. It does this very well. I don't think you can really do that in an area where it's super clean and pristine and aesthetically sterile.
Well, so you know what game ruins what you like about Dead Space 2? Dead Space 3.
What did they do?
You go to an area where no one has been for hundreds of years while a scientist basically narrates what you're doing while you're listening to his audio logs.
Ah, that sounds terrible.
Yep. It's fantastically terrible.
Matt, did you play Human Revolution?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You should.
You should get the
I should have
Wii U
a
version.
Lot more time, though.
That's true.
Like, that's the biggest issue. Like, I lost my entire weekend to repairing the fence.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
I didn't
good job on that. Good job on that. Yeah, I mowed our weed meadow out back this past weekend.
You people doing manly men things. I have an apartment. I don't have to worry about this crap.
But how do you yell, get off my lawn?
I don't have a lawn. I have a patch of concrete in front of the apartment.
It just
get off my concrete.
Yeah.
What's weird about this neighborhood is like people will just I don't know if I explained this before. I may have. People hang out on the stoop. Like, as soon as like spring rolls around, they'll just because you know there's a stoop out front like stairs, and people just stay there like all day, and just talk to their neighbors or people that come by. Does that sound perverse to anyone else?
It's the thing that happens.
I mean, I figure somebody like you who's grown up in Southern culture understands that people just want to hang out in front of their house.
God, that's terrible. Why would you? Number one, you're going outside, which inherently is problematic. And two, you're just, that's all they're doing. It's like they're just like looking around and like other people are just walking by. That's it.
You would never stoop to that.
I would never stoop to standing outside and looking around. That just goes against everything I stand for or sit for.
I was going to say. Should I announce the next Litter's book club game?
Do we take a break and talk what we're talking about? We've been playing, or
let's talk about what we've been talking about. No, I'm going
to talk about like what we've been playing rather, or do we just want to do this?
Well, I'm just going to announce it, and then we can do whatever after that. I didn't say we're going to end after that, Mark. Jeez, you're so negative.
Well, I'm just saying. Usually, we have like a set. Okay, you can do whatever you want. I think
Mark really wants to talk about. All right, so we've been through our first round of Literary Book Club where we each got to pick a game. Although I guess Wes didn't get to pick a game, but he's doing his own thing anyways. He can do his own Literary Book Club.
He knew what he was getting into.
Where he only plays wrestling games.
We kind of did an Literary Book Club with WrestleMania. So, by the way, yeah, you guys listen to our WrestleMania podcast.
Yeah, go check out the Power Hour starring Mark Bradshaw.
Non-free-to-play podcast. The nerve.
The nerve. And it's back to me now. So, the first time I picked Don't Starve for us to play, and, this time we're going to be playing Treasure Adventure Game, which was, I think, one of the games I first put in when we were having people vote on it. And it's a game I played and I really, really like. It's kind of, it's an indie game. It's free. You can get it. It's on, goodoldgames.com, but you can also just get it from the developer, Robit Studios. And they're in the process of kind of just sort of what we were talking about before, that what they're remaking it, sort of giving it kind of updated graphics. But I recommend playing the kind of old pixel arty 8-bit version that's out right now. And yeah, it's really good. It's kind of an exploration game, platforming, a bit Metroidvania, and it's really, really good. Really, really great music. So we're going to be playing that over the next week or two and then talk about it. And that's what you guys are going to be playing.
Bye. Ray, I'm watching the trailer.
Yeah, watch that trailer.
Gives me a little cave story vibe.
Yeah, it does. It's a bit of that. Yeah, and there's a boat.
It actually reminds me of Boy in the Blob, or Boy in His Blob.
I can see that too. You have a little parrot.
All right.
Yes.
Watching the trailer is not good radio.
I was on the edge of my seat. But yeah, so that's what you guys are gonna be playing. But what have you been playing?
I've been playing Civ 5 again. I've never actually stopped playing Civ 5.
How's but Gandhi?
I've been playing Gandhi because screw Gandhi. I haven't run into Gandhi. What I've been running into is Napoleon though. And Napoleon is a backstabbing bastard. I don't know if you guys have played Civ 5, but you know, everyone has a different personality, and Napoleon is just a dick. But I think I screwed myself over because I'm playing Alexander the Great, and he has this one ability called the Hellenistic League, where like it's really easy for him to like build up alliances with like other city states. So when I started my Civ, like there was just like gold all around me. It's like, okay, this is great. I'm just going to like build up all of these gold resources and buy my way to victory with these city states. And I just made a whole bunch of like these hoplite military units, because I knew the French were to my south and I had to protect myself from the French. And eventually, as comes to happen, the French decided to betray me and I had to go to war against France. And Civ 5 is one of those games where you don't know if you screwed up until like hours and hours and hours later. And I have horribly screwed up in Civ 5 because I just kept building like these classical like hoplite units. And now there's like this single musketeer who's just going through these spearmen because he has a gun. And there's nothing they really can do to this guy. And he can, and my army is just useless against this single musketeer.
That sounds amazing.
And now the last past 6 hours of this game have been completely useless. And now he's going to take over my gold. And I hate this game.
And you've been playing this game forever, you said?
Yeah, basically since it came out. For the past year.
Good thing gold's worth nothing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you just have to mine bitcoins in that game.
Despite what Glenn Beck tells us.
Civilization Bitcoin Edition would actually be pretty smart.
Oh, man. The Bitcoin.
You just have, like, when you, like they have, like, computers just sitting on there where, like, you have a gold mine. Just have a computer mine. And you go there and say, mine a computer. Bitcoins come out of it. Also, that's porn.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Also, porn. You can also get porn out of it. You sell porn. But this wasn't playing.
I was just going to leave it sitting there just to see how long.
Just porn. I have not been playing anything new, so I'll pass it on to Matt.
I also have not been playing anything new.
Because you've been building a fence.
Yeah, you've been building a fence.
Fun.
You haven't been playing any of Tomb Raider since you bought it?
I haven't played it since, like, Tuesday.
So. That was the I came this weekend thinking, okay, I'm going to play some more Tomb Raider. So I start up Tomb Raider. And, like, 30 minutes later, I realize I kind of don't like Tomb Raider.
I don't dislike it so far, but I'm really not that far into it.
It just seems very soulless to me. I don't know.
As opposed to previous Tomb Raider games?
I never played a previous Tomb Raider game. So,
I understand. There's a certain expectation when you jump into that series, and Tomb Raider 2013 did not betray those expectations for me.
I don't know, because, I mean, that's supposed to be a reboot, right? So you're supposed to, like, destroy your previous expectations of Tomb Raider games, right?
I don't know what I would expect from reboots. I just kind of, like, look at the game and series in front of me.
What I was hoping for was, like, a better Uncharted 2. I'm just playing this, realize it is a better Uncharted 2, but I already played Uncharted 2, and I'm not playing Uncharted 2 either, so I'm not sure if I want to play this game.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like I said before, it's one of those things where you're making the game at the end of the generation, and if you're going to appeal to series fans, you damn well better make the game they want.
So as a Tomb Raider fan, did they make the game you wanted?
I don't know that I'm much of a Tomb Raider fan. Yeah. I've played all the games, but I don't think I've...
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't remember any of them, really. That's a strange thing. Like, I can distinctly recall parts of each game, but I can't remember any of them holistically.
It's kind of like me in the Bourne movies. Like, I can remember scenes from every Bourne movie, but I couldn't tell you which movie they came from. And if you show me the Bourne movies, I couldn't tell you exactly which one they were, despite watching the Bourne movies and loved the Bourne movies.
The first one had... Shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember. The second one had an awesome chase.
Second one, his girlfriend got shot, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Girlfriend got shot at the beginning, and the last part of the movie is, like, a really amazing chase in Russia.
Yes.
It's like GTA the movie, essentially.
I remember that. I remember there being a fight where he rolls up a magazine and kicks some dude's ass just using a rolled up magazine. I think that was the second movie. I think.
I want to say that was third. No, that was first.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. third one had Moby. It was a Moby. There was a Moby song at the end of the third one. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah.
Bourne movies.
Tomb Raider.
So I've been playing Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a PS360 puzzle game that, like, it releases a budget title and it kept falling in price. So when it was like $5, I was like, why not?
Yeah. It's so much
that there's a good reason that's a budget game. Like, it's a pretty decent puzzler. Nothing particularly wrong with it. It's just, like, okay, so end of the first boss, it gives you a skill, but it doesn't actually tell you what the skill is or how you can use it or anything like that, and it's actually so incredibly vague that I spent like an hour trying to get something because I thought I had a skill I don't actually have.
What was the skill? I've played this game, like, 3/4 of that game, and liked it, but not well enough to finish it.
Like, the first boss gives you a skill where it says, oh, Tepu can jump on top of Majin and go to high places. What this actually means is he can do this in battle as a combination attack.
Oh, yeah.
What you assume it means is that you can get higher places.
Which I think you could already do. I know there is a point where, like,
you can crouch and get on top of him, which is one thing.
Yeah.
Then later in the game, you learn another skill that is actually the skill that you thought you learned before, where you just jump on him and get higher places. But I don't think that's actually any better than the crouching jumping skill.
There are some places, like, you can't get to unless he, like, actually puts you on top of it.
Yeah.
But it was that game goes on like a third too long, I think. A third or a fourth too long. Like, I liked the game, and it definitely had heart, but they ran out of ideas like somewhere through it, and just a lot of it felt like busy work.
I'm in the industrial complex area now.
Yeah, that's telling about the game. I can't remember like specific points to it. I remember the combat being sort of frustrating because there's something about this black goo that was really annoying.
Yeah. And also, like, as long as you stay next to Majin, you're fine. But if he wanders off on his own somewhere else, because your combat ability is determined entirely by how close you are to him.
Right, okay.
So since he has his own independent AI, if he decides to go chase that bird thing, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, he's the only guy who can actually kill things permanently dead, if I believe correctly. Like, whereas you can only knock things out. So you actually have to have him around to fight.
Yeah. I mean, most of the thing, there's a pretty wide berth of how far he can be to absorb him. But you actually have, like, how fast you attack is determined by whether or not he's also attacking the same enemy. Mm-hmm. Which is really kind of frustrating. Also, the big problem I have with it is that it feels like a lot of the puzzle parts are execution dependent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm doing something wrong and just haven't, like, executed it correctly yet, or if... like, I just haven't figured it out yet correctly.
You're right, because I remember there being a lot of catapult sections in that game, and if you don't, like, have everything just lined up correctly, you won't hit the next platform, and you can't tell if you just weren't supposed to hit that platform at all, or if it's because you didn't have it lined up right.
Yeah. There was this one part where I had to go over a tightrope bar thing, and next to me is one of the guards with the whip hands that can, like, hit you from a distance.
Right.
And I figured, oh, I guess what I do is I go by him, he gets alerted, and I just jump over the whip, which seems like a perfectly logical thing to do, because why else would you be able to jump on these tightrope sections? Right. So I kept trying that for maybe half an hour to 45 minutes until I noticed, oh, I guess I could just go that other direction. And like, maybe if I didn't have the option to try and make an execution thing, maybe it would have, like, I would have looked for other options easily.
You know, that's a hard thing to work around to, I imagine, when you're designing, because you want to make it seem like it's open-ended to some degree.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, most of the puzzles in that game have one way to figure them out. And if you don't do that very linear thing, then you're screwed. And you don't want to sit there and, like, then just, like, label everything so the player can't figure it out.
I don't know. It's mostly a design thing. Like, you look at Portal 2, and Valve made it, so I have never thought anywhere in that game that something is off because of execution. That if I could just do this a little bit better, I'd be able to make it.
Right.
If I can't do it that first time, then it doesn't work.
If anything, it almost seems like if you're good at execution, you can break that game. Because a lot of the things that you do in there, they don't feel like you should have been able to do.
Right. And I mean, that's the penultimate, or not penultimate, that's the ultimate puzzle game to me, Portal 2.
Yeah.
And I think everything else is kind of barking at its tree.
I think that's a large problem I had with... with Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider game as well. A lot of the jumping around stuff, it was difficult to tell, should I be able to do that, or am I just barely missing this cliff, or do I have to have a new ability, or am I missing something else entirely? Yeah. But I will say, it's really annoying to have these puzzle games, these puzzle platformers, where they just don't give you all your abilities at the start. I wish they just give you everything you need and base the game off that, instead of not telling you if you don't have, like, ability to double jump or ability to, like, dash jump or whatever. And then you have to come back hours later. That's a big problem I had with both the Darksiders games.
Which, Darksiders has now officially been sold.
Yes, and not to the company we wanted.
Who owns it now?
Platinum bid on it, and they didn't get it. It's a company called Nordic Games. Got it, like pretty much everything that wasn't Homeworld are Drawn to Life Nordic Games bought.
Didn't Crytek put a bid on, or at least wanted to?
Yeah, they wanted. I think they were like second, but it was a big lot of IPs, and they couldn't be sold separately. So maybe I assume Nordic Games doesn't actually plan to make games off all this stuff. So it's probably going to flip a lot of these IPs.
Yeah.
So maybe Crytek is going to pick it up.
Like, bought that, and they bought Red Faction too, which is a shame because they probably.
So on their publisher page on Steam. They have Book of Unwritten Tales, which I think is an adventure game. They have the Gothic games, Painkiller, Spellforce. That seems to be the main stuff. Yeah, I mean, Painkiller and Gothic are pretty big, but it seems like a weird fit.
Surely they were only the publishers for Painkiller, right?
I mean, probably, yeah. I mean, this is their
Painkiller was. Painkiller was made by. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess we'll see what happens.
I don't really have a lot of confidence in that.
No, I mean, nothing good's going to come from it.
Yeah.
That at best, they're just going to sell the IPs to someone who might actually want them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, sucks for Crytek, but...
I just wish there would have been some way where Relic could have kept hold of Homeworld, because those guys should be making the next Homeworld game, not whatever the hell Gearbox plans on doing with Homeworld, which is probably going to be an awful FPS.
I kind of wonder if Gearbox just bought Homeworld to fuck over Sega.
Probably. Probably just to be dicks. Probably exactly what happened.
That would be sad.
Yep. All right.
But oh, well.
Oh, well.
I think it's about time to be hitting that dusty trail, guys.
I say we have podcasted enough, sir.
To you, I say aye.
Yeah.
Those who say nay, that's what I thought.
Motion passed. Podcast over.
Fuck you, Nordic Games. Fuck you. Get a platinum on that stuff. Dicks.
Old rambling man.